Welcome to the Man Cave Podcast with Dan Casper.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of the Man Cave Podcast, brought to you by our good friends from Hy-Vee and Toys and Ford. Don't forget, we've got that swag line, the Swag Cave by Resonance Branding Company. Get your podcast swag, get your show swag by going to our Swag Cave. The link is in the podcast description, so go ahead and check that out. And we got a golf hat up there now, too. Big thanks to Resonance for creating that. Hey, on this episode of the podcast, we're going to talk a little football. We're going to talk a little Packers as we get closer to the NFL draft. I want to talk a little bit about Zach Tom and how I feel like he is. We know Green Bay is going to draft some offensive linemen. The question is it going to be in the first round? How often? How many? How soon? But I think a big part is that part of that is going to be, how do they view Zach Tom? Center? Tackle? Guard? We're going to hit that up coming up here in just a little bit. Want to lead it off talking some hoops. And the Bucks are the 3 seed after falling to the Orlando Magic this past Sunday. They will take on the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers, who have beaten the Bucks 4 out of 5 times this year. But the last time these two teams played was back on January 30th. Now, in the first half of the season, these were two of the highest scoring teams in all the NBA. Now, both are still in the top 5. Pacers are still number 1. Pacers have the 4th worst defense in terms of points allowed per game. Bucks have gotten a little bit better on that. But nonetheless, this is a series, I think, you know, if we ask Bucks fans about this in January, December, how would you feel about a potential matchup between these two? And I feel like Bucks fans probably would be like, yep, no, not feeling good about that at all. Not feeling good about that at all. And I get it. And especially when you factor in Giannis, may miss some time, may miss some of these games. At this point in time, we don't know for certain. Recording this on Tuesday. Game's on Sunday, so we got a little bit of time. But there is some concern. I know Shams from The Athletic is, you know, saying there's some doubt, legit doubt, that he will be able to go for game one here. And, I mean, not having Giannis would be a tremendous loss considering the numbers he has put up against the Pacers this year. We're talking about over 40 points per game, double-digit rebounds, 13 rebounds per game. That's a big chunk to be missing. So, I mean, if Giannis is missing a couple of games, is that enough to, you know, lose the series for the Bucks? I mean, I think there's a case to be made for that. I think there is. Now, I think the Bucks can win without Giannis. Dame is going to have to step it up a little bit more. He's going to have to be that guy that carries the team on his back. Bobby Portis going to need some more out of Chris Middleton and such. And just everybody's got to fill that void. And you almost have to play some, I don't want to say perfect basketball, but pretty darn near perfect, pretty consistent, high-level basketball, especially from a guy like Dame. This is why. I know I've said it a few times. But this is the reason why you bring in a guy like Damian Lillard. If Giannis is out or Giannis is off, you have another star. You have another go-to player that can lead the charge. Last year we saw times when Giannis was out, team struggled a little bit. No offense to Jrue Holiday, and he did drop 50 points, you know, yesterday in a game or last year in a game and such. But he's not a guy that carries a team. Dame is a guy that could carry a team. And if Giannis misses a game, a couple games, hopefully nothing more than that, Dame has got to step up into that role and be the guy. Okay? He's got to be on. But that doesn't mean others can't not step it up another step tier. Portis, Middleton, Brooke, Bev on the defensive side, Connaughton coming off the bench, Beasley coming off the bench. Everybody's got to take it up a step. But Dame's maybe got to take it up 2 more steps, if you will. So, the Bucks, I mean, the biggest thing here is going to be transition defense. You got a Pacers team that's going to want to run it. Tyrese Halliburton at the point. I think Patrick Beverley is going to be the guy that's going to be tasked to try to, I don't think he could stop Tyrese Halliburton, but try to slow him down and maybe frustrate him a little bit more on the defensive end. So, And literally, as I'm just recording this, Adrian Wojnarowski saying the Milwaukee Bucks are preparing to be without two-time MVP Giannis for the start of their opening round series, but are hopeful treatment on his left calf strain will allow him to return sometime later in the series. So there you have it. Literally, as I'm recording this, this just popped up. So let's assume Giannis is going to miss the first couple of games in this thing. Is that enough for the Pacers, I guess, to win the series? So let's say he misses the first two. Let's say the Bucks start off in a 2-0 hole. Can they climb out of that? Now, some will point to, look what they did against the Suns in the NBA Finals. Yeah, sure, that's an example. I feel like if the Bucks, though, drop in a 2-0 hole, a 2-0 hole, they're not winning this series. They're not winning the series. So the Bucks cannot afford to drop their first two games. They have at least bare minimum have to split. Now, they're at home, so they, I mean, the expectation is you got to win your home games here. I think it's going to be a split. I really do. But, man, they cannot afford to drop 0-2 in this series, because if you drop 0-2, you drop your first two games in Milwaukee, then you go to Indiana, you're not winning that series. You're not winning that series. So, to me, best case scenario would be winning two, and then you go to Indiana up 2-0. Bare minimum, you have to at least split. But this, I will say it, I will keep pounding the table, I will keep saying it, it has got to be Dame time. It has got to be Damian Lillard time. He has got to now step it up even more. Not saying he's been a bum or anything like that this season, but the pressure is on now. This, again, is why you acquire, you make a move to get a guy like Damian Lillard for these types of moments. Giannis is out. Dame, your team, your time, lead him. But this is, it's all hands on deck now. It is all hands on deck. Middleton's got to take his game up another notch. Bobby Portis has to continue doing what he has been doing this year. He has got to be a guy that attacks. His game's got to be on. Everybody has to step it up. But I am looking at Damian Lillard now to be that guy that carries this team, because this is why you were brought in. You have got to be the man. You have got to be the man. And this is going to be tough. I mean, we just went through the Nuggets. Or the little Nugget, not the Denver Nuggets. These little Nuggets about, you know, Giannis' numbers against the Pacers this year. He was on fire. He was dominant, over 40 points a game. And you're going to be missing that against the highest scoring team in the NBA. Where are those points going to come from now? It's got to be Dame, and it's got to be everybody else. But I would, you know, outside of Dame, I want more from Chris Middleton now. I want more from Chris Middleton in this game or in this series. He's averaged about 15 points per game this year. He's got to be that guy, that next option, that next offensive option. He has got to be a guy that kind of has to turn into Middleton from a few years ago, a couple of years ago, where he was the number two guy. I want to see Middleton now putting up 20 points per game, at least 20 points per game. I liked his role when Giannis and Dame are healthy as that third option, 15, you know, 6 and 5, 15, 5 and 5, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 6 assists, whatever. That's got to get up there. I want to see Middleton now be the Middleton from a couple years ago. I know that might be a lot of asking because of his age and injuries and all that sort of stuff. He has got to be, though. Him and Dame have got to be the two guys that lead this group until Giannis hopefully can come back. And when Giannis does come back, hopefully the Bucks are in a position to either still win the series or maybe have won the series. I mean, the Bucks start off 2-0. They could probably push back Giannis's return time a little bit. Don't get too cute, but they could probably push it back a little bit. They drop the series 0-2. Then you run in the risk of throwing Giannis out there and maybe suffering potentially an injury that could really affect next year at that point. But they got time now. This is the one benefit of being the 3 seed as opposed to the 2 seed. You have this extra time to prepare for an opponent you know who you're going up against. You know who you're going up against. You got all this extra time. Whereas the 1 and the 2 seed, you're waiting to see who you play. You're scouting all these teams. But at least right now, you have this extra time to prepare for the Pacers. And now you have time to prepare without Giannis. Come up with a game plan. Defensive game plans, offensive schemes. You have this time, and this is where Doc Rivers and his coaching staff, this is their time. These are the days right now leading up to this game on Sunday where the pressure is on them to get this team ready to go and beat Indiana without Giannis. Pressure's on the coaching staff right now. You're a veteran coach. Doc Rivers was brought in for moments like this. I'd probably be a little bit more concerned with Adrian Griffin or a first-time head coach in a situation like this. And there's still a level of concern with Doc Rivers on here too. But this is why you bring in a veteran coach. For moments like this. To overcome these obstacles, if you will. So hopefully Giannis isn't out too long. But at the same time, I want him as healthy as he can be before stepping out on that court. I think the Bucks can win with Dame leading the way. It's just, can the other guys step up and be consistent? Can they be consistent? And I think the Bucks are going to have to shoot a lot of threes. Backstep. They got to make a lot of threes in this series. All right, let's take a quick break, and then I want to talk a little Packers and offensive line and the NFL draft coming up after these quick words. Perks. I love perks. You love perks. We all love perks. And one of the best perks you can find in the Chippewa Valley is Hy-Vee Perks. Hy-Vee Perks is a free and easy program for Hy-Vee shoppers. Access exclusive perks prices, earn discounts on gas when you purchase designated products at Hy-Vee, and save more with exclusive deals, offers, and rewards. The best part? It's free to join. Not a part of Hy-Vee Perks yet? No worries. Just stop by Hy-Vee in Eau Claire to sign up. Start taking advantage of the best shopping deals in the Chippewa Valley right now with Hy-Vee and Hy-Vee Perks. Toyson Ford is your go-to destination for quality vehicles and exceptional service. At Toyson Ford, they have a vast selection of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs to fit your lifestyle and budget. Their dedicated team is there to make your car buying experience a breeze. They offer financing options that suit your needs and a service center that keeps your vehicle running smoothly. Come on down to Toyson Ford and test drive your dream car today. They're located at 1000 Chippewa Crossing Boulevard in Chippewa Falls. Toyson Ford, where your road to excellence begins. As we inch a little bit closer to the NFL draft, one of my favorites, if not the favorite time of year for me. I love the NFL draft, as you all know right now. Working on my 7-round Packers mock and then my 1st-round mock. Brandon and I are actually tomorrow going to be doing something fun for the Man Cave podcast. So you know all those draft simulators that you have out there. Brandon and I are actually going to do one together, but we're going to do I'll do a Packers one, and he's going to do his Vikings one over there. So we're going to use a simulator for that as part of an episode of the Man Cave podcast coming at you tomorrow. So, but my 7-round Packers mock will be next week, and my 1st-round mock will be next week over there too. But, you know, you're starting to maybe get some more smoke screens, and – you know, teams are starting to wrap up their top 30 visits, going through the medicals, setting up their draft boards and all that good stuff here. And obviously we know Green Bay is really going to kind of focus on offensive line. The question mark is how early will they address that? Will it be a day one pick? Will it be, you know, maybe some day two picks? Really get some depth in day three, their rounds 4 through 7. And we've talked about individual offensive linemen for our draft prospect preview, you know, kind of series. We did that the last couple of weeks here and such. But nonetheless, I think with our good buddy, what Rob Demoski from ESPN said the other day on Will Van Tausch, that they view Zach Tom as a Hall of Fame type of center. And that's kind of been the question mark, is will Zach Tom eventually become the new starting center? Last year in training camp, we saw him getting some snaps with the ones in practice. Kind of a little bit, maybe for a little bit, it seemed like maybe a little bit of a battle with Josh Myers. Now, Josh Myers entering the final year of his rookie deal. Could the Packers make that move this year where they move Zach Tom to center, and then maybe it's a rookie over at right tackle? Or maybe it just all kind of depends on how the board falls for this year. Maybe if they don't get a tackle right away that they feel like could be a starter right away, maybe they keep Zach Tom at right tackle for another year and Myers at center. We know Elton's going to be at left guard. Right now, at least, it looks like Sean Ryan's going to be the other guard at right guard there. But when you look at it, if you're one of those that's maybe kind of looking at all the mock drafts that are out there from all these experts or non-experts like myself and such, you're looking at them, and there's quite a bit of offensive linemen that are mocked in the first round. Now, a guy like Joe Alt, not going to go to Green Bay unless Green Bay really moves up, you know, inside the top 10 somewhere, and they spend a lot to move up because that's the guy that they absolutely want, then maybe. But, you know, he's got a good shot at being the first offensive lineman off the board, the kid from Notre Dame. Then you got, you know, some others that may be just around number 10, at least in the teens, that Green Bay will probably still have to trade up for to get. Waga from Oregon State, you know, he's up there. There's some saying maybe he could be the first one. You know, he's going to be one of the top offensive linemen taken. You got the kid from Penn State as well up there. Fountain New from Washington, he's been projected as a potential top 15 pick. And then J.C. Latham, this Oak Creek from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Oak Creek, Wisconsin, Alabama. I've seen him around 20, between 10 and 20. I got to tell you, he's one that I'm kind of really intrigued with. Now, he played a lot of right tackle, majority of right tackle at Alabama. When he first started, he was a reserve guard in 2021. Started all 13 games at right tackle in 2022. Last year, started all games, 14 games, at right tackle. So, I mean, if Green Bay is really looking at getting a right tackle, if they really believe that Walker is the guy at left tackle, that they saw enough from last year and maybe they want to focus on a right tackle, I mean, J.C. Latham from Alabama, Oak Creek, Wisconsin native, might be a guy maybe worth moving up a few spots to get in the draft. I'll tell you the one that I really like that I think, though, that they might have to move up and get if they want him is the kid from Washington, Troy Fontenot. That would be the one, or Fontenot. But again, they might have to move up and try to get him. And he's got a little bit of versatility. He's played left tackle mostly. He's got some starts at left guard. So, got a little bit of that versatility there. And then, of course, you've got the Graham Bartons from Duke. Played left tackle at Duke. Started 2021. Actually, let's go back. 2020. Played his final six games with five starts at center. Then it was left tackle after that. 2021, 12 games at left tackle. 2022, 13 games at left tackle. 2023, 9 games at left tackle. Scouts, NFL personnel project him better as a guard or a center in the league because of little shorter arms. Kind of reminds you a little bit of Brian Bulaga. Shorter arms. That was kind of his knock coming out of the draft too. Ended up being a pretty darn good right tackle in the league for a long time. Now, could he be an option that you go over there and maybe you can play him at right tackle? Possibly. You know, some guys that you're, if again, you're paying attention a lot to the mock drafts, There's a couple of guys that have become really popular picks for Green Bay, but they're going to be maybe initially some projects. So do you start them right away, or are they kind of a reserve player? Initially, how Bulaga first started. Remember, Bulaga originally wasn't a starter as soon as he was drafted. Tauscher was still over there at right tackle. Then you had, you know, Clifton at left tackle. Tauscher ended up getting hurt. Then Brian Bulaga steps in, and you know, that's the rest of the story. But a couple of these guys that have been, as of late, especially a popular pick for the Packers, is Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. Again, this kid's, you're talking a 6'8", 320, 320 plus. He was the one, if you remember when we did our position preview, or prospect preview, excuse me, played a little H-back at TCU when he was at TCU. But in 2022, played some left tackle, played some right tackle, and he was playing right tackle with a left-handed quarterback. And then in 2023, played some right tackle over there too. So, I mean, this is a guy that probably still needs a little bit more seasoning at the tackle position, but it's got a lot of talent. I mean, he's got the physical traits. So, but again, is he a guy that you would necessarily put in day one? There's maybe some question marks around that. Another guy that maybe has some question marks, would you put out there day one, and has been maybe the most popular guy I've seen mocked to Green Bay as of late, Amarius Mims from Georgia. You want to talk about a massive human being? Here you go. 6'8", 340 pounds. Okay? Now, if you have been to, like, let's say, training camp for the Packers, preseason or such, putting these heights into perspective, or maybe a little bit here. So we're talking about, you know, a Tyler and Mims here. Tyler, 6'8", 320. Think of Caleb Jones. Remember Caleb Jones, the offensive lineman for the Packers right now? He's 6'9", okay? He's 6'9", and he's listed at 370. That's a massive guy. Now you're talking about these guys coming in here too. But Mims, 6'8", 340. Probably going to add a little bit more weight when he gets to the NFL here too. But this is a guy that doesn't have a lot of playing experience. Very limited in his playing experience. He's played at right tackle for the majority part of his career. 2022, played in 14 games with starts at right tackle. Last year, played in 7 games with 6 starts at right tackle. I mean, but he's got very limited action. But the potential is there. And the potential is there. But with that limited action, with that limited college experience, would you be able to trust him, some of these guys, going out there day one as a starter, especially for a team, too, that's got higher expectations this year, has got Super Bowl expectations this year? But it's going to be interesting. Like, I wish I could just be a fly on the wall in these meetings at 1265 Lombardi Avenue and be like, just to kind of listen in on these conversations and kind of wonder, okay, what's the plan? Because I think it all starts with Zach Tom. Where do they want to put him? Where do they want to play him? If they view him as that potential Hall of Fame type of center, put the man over there. I get it. It's the five best. Matt LaFleur always says five best will play. Five best will play. I understand that. I get it. But if Zach Tom is that, they really believe that he is the guy, the long-term starter over there, I think you got to make that move, and I think you've got to look at, okay, who's this next guy? Who's going to be, you know, that draft pick that could come in and we could plug in at right tackle, and maybe eventually he's a guy that swings over to our future left tackle if Walker doesn't work out. But I believe Green Bay's got to go into this draft with at least, coming out of this draft with at least a couple of tackles. for depth purposes. Some a guy who could be your swing tackle coming off the bench. Another one potentially being a starter for you this year too. Because I mean you look at some of the depth right now on this offensive line. You know, Royce Newman is still on there, but I mean, how many more chances is Royce Newman going to get? He's guard tackle. I know when he was first drafted, he was a tackle. They tried making him into a guard, but I don't know about the rest of you. I'm not the biggest Royce Newman believer out there. Thought last year he might have been on the ropes. And I know they really like Luke Tenuta. He got hurt in preseason last year, but they really like him. I mean, maybe they view him as a potential depth piece at tackle. So, you know, we're looking at this as fans on paper and be like, boy, they need a lot of help there. They need a lot of depth there. But that's where I would love to be in the walls, inside 1265, be a fly on that wall and be like, what's the conversation around Luke or Caleb Jones or Rashid Walker? Because if they really are that high on a guy like Luke and they want to give him maybe a shot, maybe a chance, maybe they kind of get, you know, because general managers say we draft based off of, you know, our board and best available and that. Bull. I mean, it's not always best available, for crying out loud. It's a mixture of best available plus what do you need. Not every team has that luxury just to go. I mean, sometimes you get in a situation like where you can go best available. But in Green Bay's case, yeah, you're looking at offensive line and you're probably looking at some defensive help here with this first pick. But I really think with this offensive line, it's going to – Zach Tom is kind of that deciding factor. If they think he's a center and they want to move him to center, all right, let's really hyper-focus on some tackles in this draft. Maybe double dipping early. If they say, you know what, we're still going to keep him at right tackle this year, all right, maybe you find somebody day two, day three. You know, maybe you've got this mindset, hey, we found Elton Jenkins in second round. We found Zach Tom mid rounds. You know, we found these guys. We're confident in our game plan and how we do things in that. We're confident we're going to be able to find guys later on. That's why I'd love to be a fly on there. But I think if they view Zach Tom as that Hall of Fame caliber center, put him over there now. Let him grow right now with Jordan Love in this young offense. I should say continue to grow. Let's just start it up right now. Get her going right now. I think when we get to fast forward end of July, when training camp opens, offensive line, the tackle jobs are going to be very interesting to watch. They're going to be very interesting to watch in terms of like open jobs, battles, and then right guard too. I mean, probably not the best ideal situation to be in going into training camp, and you might have a battle for starting left tackle and right tackle and right guard. Maybe not the best. Maybe like your offensive line a little bit more solidified at that point in time. But there's going to be a lot of competition over there, I think. So I'm kind of leaning towards, and I'll just kind of give you a little tip, I'm kind of leaning towards offensive line with the first pick. It's just, which one do they go? A lot of these guys have right tackle experience. So are they looking at a guy to maybe straight up just play right tackle and focus on right tackle? Or do they want a guy that maybe has a future as their left tackle? Obviously, we know Green Bay likes the versatility. But a lot of these guys have played majority parts of their college career. A lot of these guys that might be available to Green Bay where they're at have spent the majority part of their career, if not all their career, playing right tackle. So could they transition to left tackle at the NFL level? All right, that is going to do it for us on this episode of the Man Cave Podcast. Again, brought to you by Hy-Vee and Toyson Ford. As always, if you haven't taken a few seconds, if you could, give us a 5-star rating and a positive review so others can find the podcast. And if you haven't followed or subscribed to the podcast, you could do that too. That way you never miss another episode, because sometimes we drop multiple episodes in one day. All right. So coming up on our next episode, we're going to have a little fun. Brandon Berg's going to be joining me, and we're going to do some draft simulators for our favorite teams. Brandon's going to do the Vikings, and I'm going to do the Packers. So make sure you're tuning into that. Till next time, I'm Dan Casper, and I will talk to you on the next episode of the Man Cave Podcast.